The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, this NFL roller coaster just continues to go up and down for every single team this year. We had some more crazy games this weekend, some crazy upsets, and just a whole bunch of craziness that just kept on going on. It is going to be so much fun to watch this last month of football heading into the playoffs, because it is so unpredictable from week to week what is going to happen. So let's get right into it. Beginning with probably the more predictable game of the weekend between the San Francisco 49ers at the Cleveland Browns. This one, it was all Niners all day. They got the win 26-8. And Myles Garrett did get another sack. So he's at 19 now, so he's getting closer and closer to breaking the single-season sack record, which is about all the Browns have going for them, because this was about as terrible as a game as it could have been for them. I mean, they had a couple of decent plays to get that 8 points, but other than that, they pretty much just shit the bed. They had some terrible turnovers. They had this terrible fumble on a punt return that the Niners were able to just pick right up and score on that one. And then Brock Purdy bounced back from his three interception game from last week, and this week went 16 for 29 with 168 yards and a touchdown. So he had an overall solid game, and the Niners just walked away with a big win. Then we had the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Tennessee Titans. This was another one of the predictable games. Jaguars kicked the shit out of the Titans 25-3. Trevor Lawrence had a solid day, going 16 for 27, 229 yards and two touchdowns. And Jacoby Myers, his new receiver who he's connecting with, he had 90 yards and a touchdown. And it was the Jaguars doing exactly what they're supposed to do in this game. Big upset, though, ended up going between the Houston Texans at the Indianapolis Colts. This actually was a division battle, you know, I mean, the whole way through, all the way up until the bitter end. But the Texans were able to get the better of the Colts. I mean, the Colts, they actually had a chance there at the end, but just threw it away. But the Texans defense really just stepped up for this one, knew exactly what they had to do. C.J. Stroud came back. He went 22 for 35, 276 yards and an interception. Jonathan Taylor, not a bad day, 85 yards, but he's been shut down these last couple of games, and so have the Colts. And so the Texans got the win in this one, 20-16. And shockingly, this AFC South it's out of control right now. I mean, the Texans, the Colts, and the Jaguars are all battling out. It's going to be a battle this entire month between these three teams for this division. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here down the stretch. But none of those teams are falling back. They're all fighting each and every week. I mean, even though the Colts have lost these last two, it doesn't mean they can't win the next two. But they did lose this week to the Texans. Then another close one ended up being between the New Orleans Saints and the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins did hang on to get the win 21-17, but the Saints definitely made it a game in the second half. Tyler Shough had a pretty good game, 26 for 38, 239 yards and two touchdowns. And he played a really solid game. I mean, about as good as you could do for the New Orleans Saints. I mean, they don't have much talent at all. But he did his best, but the Dolphins just did much more. Achane had 134 yards on the ground with a touchdown, and they were able to just hold on. They were lucky that they were able to get a bunch of points in the first half and then just hold on in the fourth quarter. But the Saints definitely wanted to put on a show in that one. Then we had the Atlanta Falcons at the New York Jets. This one actually ended up being pretty surprising. The Jets ended up getting the last second win, 27-24. Kirk Cousins had a pretty solid day for the Falcons, 21 for 33, 234 yards and a touchdown. Bijan Robinson had a huge day for the Falcons, 142 yards and a touchdown. But unfortunately, it just did not work out for them. The Jets were just able to get the better of them. Tyrod Taylor, he actually was... it's kind of like this Falcons defense wasn't prepared for him to be able to run, because even though he's an older guy in this league, he still has that ability to run, and he definitely did it. And then his receiver, Adonai Mitchell, he had a huge day as well, 102 yards and a touchdown and a big win for the Jets in that one. Then we had the Arizona Cardinals at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Cardinals made this a tough game for the Bucs, but the Bucs were able to just hang on to it, 20-17. This one was one of those crazy games where the Buccaneers offensive lineman, Tristan Wirfs, actually ended up scoring a touchdown in this one, so that's what kind of game it was. Jacoby Brissett had another solid game for the Cardinals, even though it was a loss. He went 29-40, 301 yards and two touchdowns. But unfortunately for him, it's just the Buccaneers just had that much more going for them. The Buccaneers got a couple of guys get back from injury, so they had a little bit more spark on the offensive side of the ball. Baker wasn't walking around limping. He seemed to be taking care of that shoulder as best he could. And just an overall solid game from the Buccaneers. Then we had the Los Angeles Rams at the Carolina Panthers, and this probably ended up being the biggest surprise of the day because the Panthers really took it to the Rams. At first, in the first half, it actually looked like it was going to be a game. I mean, the Rams came right out the gate, scored. But then the Panthers were like, nah, we're not just going to sit here and take this. They actually ended up causing a couple of turnovers. You know, Matthew Stafford hasn't had an interception since like week 4 or something like that. It's been a minute since he's had an interception. He actually had 2 in this game. One was in the red zone. He had a fumble. They caused a fumble as well. It was just the Carolina Panthers really, really took it to them. And I said that about them earlier this season, that they were going to be a team that's going to keep it close and maybe get some of these surprise wins. And this ended up being a surprise win that they ended up getting 31-28. They had some big plays. They just really kept it in order. I mean, they're obviously not Super Bowl bound, in my opinion, and they're on the outside looking in right now in the playoffs, but they definitely are going to make a run for it. They still have a shot at their division, and I just feel like they're going to give their best to each and every team down the stretch here. And even if they do end up, you know, sneaking in one of those last spots in the playoffs, they're kind of a team you don't really want to face, especially this defense, because they are ball hawks. I mean, they take away the ball, interceptions, fumbles. That team's not scared, so you really got to watch out for them on the defensive side of the ball. It's just their offense. Sometimes their offense just stalls out, and then that becomes a problem. But if their offense played like they did yesterday, well, then they have no issues, and that's how you beat the Rams, 31-28. Then we had the Minnesota Vikings at the Seattle Seahawks, and this was a terrible. I mean, the Vikings season has been terrible, and it was just basically the epitome of their season yesterday. They lost 26-0. They couldn't even put 1 point up on the board yesterday. They had their fourth or fifth string quarterback in at this rate, Brosmer, who threw a couple of terrible interceptions, but I mean, he wasn't really getting any help from his offensive line either. And it was really just all about the Seattle Seahawks defense. They were just causing turnovers, really causing issues. And their offense just had to come out and get a couple of scores out there for them. And the Seahawks defense just did the rest of the job. But the Vikings offense was nowhere to be found. Even Justin Jefferson only had 4 yards on the day, and he's had a terrible season. No fault of his own. It's just this Vikings offense has been atrocious, and that showed yesterday with 0 points up on the board. Then we had the Las Vegas Raiders at the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers demolished the Raiders 31-14. Justin Herbert actually suffered a broken hand, his left hand, not his throwing hand. So he's supposed to have surgery today, and it's going to be one of those things where he may or may not play next week, or they just really don't know what kind of a timetable they're looking at until after the surgery today. Like I said, it's kind of the similar thing with Aaron Rodgers, where it was pain tolerance for him with his wrist injury. So it's probably going to be the same thing with Herbert, just kind of a how he could tolerate the pain. But even so, he went out there yesterday, even with the broken hand, and was able to score a couple of touchdowns. But his running back finally got a ground attack yesterday from the Chargers with Vidal, who had 126 yards and a touchdown on the ground. And just another terrible showing from the Raiders as well, who are obviously completely out of it on the season. Then we had the Buffalo Bills at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and this one started out close. It was very a huge defensive battle to start, but then the Bills just really started to get away with it, actually run away with it, literally. As a matter of fact, they had a career day on the ground. with the, between James Cook and Allen and their other their backup running back. They, I believe they had 249 yards, which is a record, as a matter of fact, against the Pittsburgh Steelers in their own stadium. So that just says a lot about what the Bills did to them yesterday on the defensive side of the ball. And they were literally running the same play over and over again. And the Steelers just could not stop it. And then on the offensive side of the ball, they were just getting their asses beat. Aaron Rodgers, he did what he could, but that offensive line is really not helping him out. And then he ended up getting face planted into the ground, cutting his nose up, but he still stayed out there and played. But it was just a bad showing from the Steelers in the second half. And then the Bills just put it together, put some scores together. They didn't really look that great, but they looked better than the Steelers, especially. But they looked better, and they did get the win 26-7. Then we had the a great game between the Denver Broncos at the Washington Commanders. This one actually ended up going into overtime. The Broncos defense, the Commanders defense, both of these defenses were taking care of business. On the Broncos side of things, I kind of feel like their offense is really starting to show its cracks. You know, I've been calling them loosey-goosey all season, and it's really just their defense that's been keeping them in it. And that really showed last night. You could just tell a lot of their drives ended up getting stalled on the offensive side of the ball, and that's just because it just is their thing. They just like to get it going, and then they stall, and then all of a sudden here they are making these big-ass plays, and then they get the win in the end, which they did. But the Commanders made some big plays in the second half to take it into overtime. And I mean, Marcus Mariota, got to give him a shout-out just because he played a really solid game yesterday, was under a lot of duress and made some really, really solid plays. I know a lot of people are probably going to be talking about the last play of the game in overtime, the two-point conversion that failed. But I mean, other than that, he pretty much had a very, very good game, especially under pressure and just what was going on yesterday. Terribly officiated game as well. You know, I'm not really big on bitching about the refs, but that was a horribly officiated game yesterday on many, many levels. And a lot of it went against the Commanders. So shout out to them for actually overcoming a lot of those issues. But even so, in overtime, the Broncos came right out, scored, and got their 7 points. So the Commanders, they were able to eventually drive it down the field. They scored a touchdown, and they decided to go for the 2 points, which I liked because I didn't want it to end in a tie, and I really didn't want the game to go on any longer. I was glad they decided, let's just go for the two. Unfortunately for them, that Broncos defense is too damn good, and they were just able to bum rush Marcus Mariota, put their hands in the air, and just get a great block on the two-point conversion. And the Broncos walked away with the win 27-26. But Bo Nix went 29 for 45, 321 yards and a touchdown. But just an overall really solid performance from both teams, but especially on the defensive side of the ball. And that Broncos defense, like I keep saying, that's what keeps them in it. And that's what saved them in this game. But who knows if that's going to be the case once the playoffs roll around. You really don't want to be playing like that in the playoffs. But they still got the win, and they still, that's their 9th win in a row, and they are now the number 1 overall seed in the AFC as far as the playoffs are concerned. All right, moving on to the Monday Night Football game this week. We have the New York Giants at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Patriots are a 7.5-point favorite, and I mean, this is just going to be a terrible game because the New England Patriots are pretty much flying high right now. They're one of the hottest teams in the league, whereas the Giants are just straight trash. There is nothing good about this team. They're terrible in every way, shape, and form. Jackson Dart's about the only positive thing to discuss, and he is going to be playing tonight. So he should give them a little bit of a spark, but overall, it's just New England is a much better team. I don't expect it to be really an ass-kicking game, but I do expect New England to really dominate this game the whole way through. And I kind of feel like the Giants will be there hovering, but in the end, New England's going to walk away with this one, and I have New England winning 24-17. Then let's move on to the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Not a whole lot of changes, but still some damn good basketball being played, especially by the reigning number 1 champs, who still remain number 1 on my top 10 NBA power rankings. That is the Oklahoma City Thunder, because they're 20-1 on the season and currently on a 12-game winning streak. Yeah, a 12-game winning streak. They basically haven't lost in like a month, it kind of feels like. This past week, they beat the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Phoenix Suns, and the Portland Trail Blazers. Oh, and by the way, they got Jalen Williams back this week. So they just got even better. SGA, he looks like he's having another MVP season. Chet Holmgren is really coming into form. Hartenstein's having a solid year. It's just there is, like I keep saying, nothing bad to say about this team, and that's why they're 20-1 on the season. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have my Los Angeles Lakers. Overall record of 15-4, and they are currently on a 7-game winning streak, which is what pushed them above Detroit this week in the power rankings. This past week, they took down the Clippers, the Dallas Mavericks, and the New Orleans Pelicans. They are first in field goal percentage. They are knocking down over 50% of their shots, 51.3% of their shots to be exact. And Luka and Reeves and LeBron and Ayton and Smart, these guys are looking really good together, especially Luka and Reeves. They are just on fire, especially after this weekend, man. Reeves just had another crazy game, and they just look to be getting hotter as the season wears on. Like I said, we'll see what happens with LeBron, but he's not like monster, but he's coming out there and making a big difference, and this Lakers team just looks better as the season keeps moving along. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Detroit Pistons. Overall record of 16-4, and they really just fell because they lost a couple of games this week. This past week, they beat the Indiana Pacers, but then lost two straight to the Boston Celtics and the Orlando Magic, and then got a win over the Miami Heat. Those two losses, though, Cade Cunningham showed out. I believe he had a triple-double in that Orlando game and almost had a triple-double in the Boston Celtics game. And that Celtics game was really, really close matchup anyways. But that's their tiny little losing streak that they had to go on. But overall, I mean, this team continues to dominate the paint, continues to excel on every level, and Cade Cunningham is really just, he's really looking like a superstar each and every week, and he has just taken over this team. I mean, he already took it over last year, but I mean, he just is unstoppable at this point. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 13-4. This past week, they beat the Phoenix Suns, the Golden State Warriors, and the Utah Jazz, and they are first in rebounds in the league, averaging about 49 rebounds per game, second in three-point percentage. They're dropping down 40% of their three-point shots right now, so not only are they getting it done in the paint, but they're getting it done outside. Kevin Durant, he had to miss a couple of games, and even in his absence, they still looked really good. So this Houston Rockets team, I kind of feel like they're going to be another team that continues to excel as the season gets going and as they gel more and more. And I mean, they're dominating in every way that you can. Rebounds, three-pointers, their superstars are showing out. Shangoon's showing out, KD's showing out. And then even when KD's out, they're still playing really well. So this Houston Rockets team looking really good right now. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 14-5. This past week, they took down the Memphis Grizzlies, lost to the San Antonio Spurs, and then beat the Phoenix Suns. They are currently first in points per game, averaging 124.8 points per game, so nearly 125 points per game. They are just blowing everybody out at this rate. Jokic continuing to do what Jokic do with all his, just averaging a triple-double throughout the season once again. But Jamal Murray, I kind of feel like he's the difference this year as opposed to what happened last year. You know, like I keep mentioning, it's the injuries that are a big problem for the Nuggets last year. They are kind of this year because, you know, Aaron Gordon, he's out right now. Brown's out right now. But Jamal Murray is not. Jamal Murray is balling uncontrollably right now. And with him and Jokic playing the way they are, I feel like they could definitely keep them above water until Gordon gets back and Brown gets back. But Gordon definitely, they're going to miss him because Gordon is a huge explosive player in the paint. But, I mean, so is Murray. And I really like what I'm seeing from them right now. And they're just blowing everybody out of the water. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 13-6. This past week, they beat the Brooklyn Nets, the Charlotte Hornets, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Toronto Raptors. And, I mean, they just are playing great team ball right now. Jalen Brunson, he's obviously the captain of this team, and averaging about, I believe, 28, 29 points per game. So he's doing his usual thing. Karl Anthony Towns, he's also doing his thing, really fitting right in, just commanding, basically taking over when Brunson's getting double teamed, there's Cat. But Bridges, man, he's been the huge deal, especially on the defensive side of the ball and in the paint. He's getting the scrappy stuff done. And Josh Hart's still doing his thing as well. But Bridges is really adding that that grittiness in on the defensive side of the ball. And the Knicks really looking solid right now. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Toronto Raptors, finally lost this week. Overall record of 14-7. This past week, they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Indiana Pacers, and then ran into a wall against the Charlotte Hornets and lost to the New York Knicks as well. But Brandon Ingram has really taken over this team. I mean, when you got a healthy Brandon Ingram, you know this, he's just so good. And I think that's one of the problems is that most people don't know how good he is because he's always injured. But when he's out there, he can dominate just in so many different ways because he's so long and he could score and he's great defensively and he's just solid in the paint. He could get rebounds for you. He could get assists. And he's just a really all-around excellent player. And I think that's part of the reason why the Raptors are doing so well right now. And then, of course, Scottie Barnes is also having a solid year as well. It's just the Raptors are really putting it together. And I kind of feel like the Eastern Conference is really up for grabs outside of the Detroit Pistons and the New York Knicks. It kind of feels like it's them. Those two, and then maybe, you know, the Miami Heat, they're always there lingering because Eric Spoelstra is their coach, and he just always keeps them in it. But Toronto, I still have questions about them because it's very early in the season. But if Brandon Ingram keeps playing this way and Barnes keeps playing this way, this is a really damn good team. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Miami Heat, overall record of 13-7. This past week, they beat the Dallas Mavericks and the Milwaukee Bucks. And then lost to the Detroit Pistons. Right now, they are actually second in points in the league, averaging 123.6 points per game. So they are also just that team that's blowing everybody out of the water. And it's crazy because they just got Hero back this week, who really showed out in his first couple of games. So they are happy to have him back. But even so, it's just been Powell's been having a great year. Bam Adebayo's been having a great year. And it's just they're playing excellent team basketball right now. And this division is easily theirs for the taking. So if they just keep playing the way they're playing, they should easily slide right into the playoffs. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the San Antonio Spurs, overall record of 13-6. This past week, they beat the Portland Trail Blazers, the Denver Nuggets, and lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's just with this team, they don't have the same oomph that they do with Wemby, but they still are playing pretty solid. I mean, they got two of three wins this past week, so that's not bad. But they definitely need Wemby back. I mean, he's a huge difference maker for them. In many ways, but good for them that they are still staying above water while he's out. It's looking like he's getting closer and closer to his return, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen this week. It's looking like potentially maybe next week we might see him back. But until then, the Spurs are playing pretty solid basketball right now without him, but they definitely are going to need him back because if they lose him for another week or two here, I kind of feel like they're going to start slipping and then we won't be talking about him anymore until Wemby gets back. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week at the Minnesota Timberwolves, overall record of 12-8. This past week, they lost to the Sacramento Kings, lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and then got wins over the Boston Celtics and the San Antonio Spurs. And it's just Anthony Edwards is carrying this team. I mean, he basically blew out the Spurs himself this past weekend. I mean, it was a blowout just in general, but he was the focal point in this one. He just could not be stopped in that game. And that's just kind of the player he is. Once he gets going, he just can't be stopped. It's really the other guys around him. If they're having a bad game, then it doesn't matter how many points Anthony Edwards scores. Then it's just... usually it doesn't translate to wins, but even so, the rest of the team around him, they're playing pretty solid defense and offense right now. You know, Randall, he's doing what he did, just what he normally does, play great on the defensive side of the ball, but also be that other scorer. And Gobert hasn't disappeared yet, so, you know, helping out right there. But it's really just all about Anthony Edwards. I mean, he's just been scoring out of his mind. But like I said, if you just take away the other players and you just kind of let him do his thing, it's kind of easy to get wins against them because they're not really that great on the defensive side of the ball other than Julius Randle. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.